Hello, Mackay with Sundays, you dirty old rotten scoundrel.
What a show today. Oh, but man. I'll tell you what, we had a laugh.
I'm exhausted. Yeah. The whole cooking thing, if you miss it, and you'll hear it later in the podcast, is just the whole we've started this new segment. I think I've got the thing here.
Hang on. Yeah. Let's cook. Cooking with Jay and Dave.
And the first thing we cooked was 1 minute. Chocolate cookie.
Yes, chocolate chip cookie, which did not take 1 minute at all.
False advertising. It took 7 minutes.
Yeah.
That's after we found out that a third of a cup equals to 5 tablespoons of flour. Is that right?
That's what it says, yeah. But I think we put too much flour in there.
Can you Google that there?
Okay.
Google it. Because when that whole measurement thing, like I can't work it out. When they say teaspoon, tablespoon, 2 teaspoons, does that equal a tablespoon? That's what I thought.
Were we using actual tablespoons? That's the thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Because the ones that like your dessert spoons that we have in the kitchen.
Dessert spoon is like a massive, like when you're eating pudding, you serve that. That's a dessert spoon, isn't it?
No. They're dessert spoons.
Shit, I don't even know the difference. Teaspoon, dessert spoon, tablespoon.
How many tablespoons?
What kind of spoons are there? What other spoons do they have?
You've got salad spoons.
That's like knives. You know when you go to a restaurant and they bring out your cutlery and you've got all the knives and forks? I'm like Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman. I'm like, I just pick it up and eat with my feet and my fingers. I don't know which cutlery to use.
There's the thing. When you're at a pizza shop, are you supposed to use the cutlery?
No.
Because I have never used knife and fork eating a pizza.
No.
Or even a meat pie or whatever, like maybe quiche.
We're Australian. We do not eat cutlery for those sort of things.
No.
All right, what does it say there about the thing?
It says 1 cup equals 16 tablespoons. That sounds like an awful lot of tablespoons.
So a third of a cup?
Would be, a third of a cup, I don't know.
Dave's strong point was never maths. Because
okay.
we needed
5.33 tablespoons.
So we were close.
Very close, yeah. But you know what? It still tasted like shit.
It did not.
It did.
Lauren from the newsroom came in. She's pretty, although she does come from Ireland, so her taste buds probably haven't even established yet.
Yeah.
But she said that the cookie was nice. She ate my cookie.
Yeah. That doesn't sound right at all.
Yeah, we'll add chocolate chips in it, the whole thing. Yeah. It was pretty good. So
she ate your cookie.
If you've got a recipe for us, jayanddave@triplem.com.au. We'll give it another crack on Wednesday of next week. But, yeah, it was good.
Yeah. May not return.
Maybe you should do it. Maybe we should do it one-on-one off.
Okay, done. All right.
So you do it next week.
I'll tell me
what recipe it'll be.
I'll bring the aprons.
Yeah, but what recipe, though, more importantly?
Oh, look, it's got to be something from TikTok.
And it has to be the only thing we can cook with is a microwave.
You're right.
Or a sandwich press.
Well, you can do sausages in sandwich presses.
Mm.
It's been done before.
Meat or an air fryer.
Oh, that's right. We have the air fryer here, don't we? Yeah.
Some bogan brought it to work and left it here. Who did that?
Don't care. It's here from now on.
Okay.
So we'll use that.
Do you have one of those at home, the air fryer?
I used to have a big one. I've only got like a medium-sized one now, yeah.
Mm.
Don't use it as much.
I don't use any of them.
Don't you?
I walk into my kitchen
at
nighttime, and magically there's dinner on the table. I don't even have what happened. I think I've got fairies or something in my house.
Or the fact your partner Jamie, your husband Jamie, has
that's what I say to
menu
Jamie,
log.
I say to Jamie, where did this meal come from? And you look over at the kitchen and the dishes are just piled high. I've been making dinner. Because I don't cook at home at all.
No, you don't.
No.
And that is shown from the 1 minute cooking segment, the cookie.
My cookie that Lauren ate. Get it. Go get it now. Is she recording something in the news?
I don't know. Hey, Lauren.
Stick your head out, go grab her, because I want to bring her in here. I want her. Here she comes.
She's coming in.
She's
down.
Running into the newsroom now. Okay. And we're going to ask her officially. Come in. You're on the podcast. Come in here. So we're not on the air.
Oh, you're eating again. Oh, that's good to see.
Yeah.
Dave says that you think that my cookie was shit.
No, I thought your cookie was really good.
Yeah, but you're Irish, so potatoes are good by themselves.
Please do not start attacking potatoes or we will have a problem.
Oh, taters.
Potatoes.
I mean, you've got, what was it?
Tato theme park?
Taterland.
Yeah, we have Tato Land, yeah.
What was the mascot called?
Mr. Potato Head.
What was the name of the roller coaster?
He has a wee red suit and all, like a yellow tie. I met him when I was like 4. It was the best day of my life.
I can't top this podcast, honestly. If you missed the show, here's the podcast.
For the last year or so, we've had our Embrace partnership with the community group, which is the Trudy Crowley Foundation. Great organisation, helps people out and their families when they're battling through cancer.
Of course. Now, you know, one thing that I was really interested in seeing, they've got a special guest coming to Mackay to do a whole range of talks at different businesses like Komatsu, M&P Services, Hastings Deering today, Trudy Crowley Foundation around 11:30 a.m. Clay Watts is joining us in the studio, and it's all about knowing your body, knowing your normal, particularly men. Clay, good morning to you, mate.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime. Know your body, know your normal. Where did that come from, and why are you so inspired to talk about that?
It's from the Trudy Crowley Foundation, and I got it from my good friend Jackie. Mm. And I think it's a pretty good catch cry, because as a cancer survivor, I've found that when you do, your body's made to tell you that something's wrong.
Mm. Yeah.
And a lot of guys in general, when they do find something on their body or feel something's not right, they tend to avoid going to see a doctor, when that's arguably the worst thing you could do.
Mm. Do you think it's because we're scared of what's going to happen?
I think
beforehand,
so.
Beforehand, or
I think so. A bit of pride there as well. If you've got something not right on your inside, you're not feeling right, you've got a sore stomach, you've got a lump where there shouldn't be a lump, you need to get it checked out as soon as you can.
You did mention your cancer battle. Yeah. If you don't mind me asking,
what
cancer did you have, and what were the symptoms that you had picked up before you sought help?
Well, I was diagnosed with the locally advanced pancreatic cancer, which is arguably one of the worst cancers. It hasn't got a very good success rate.
Yeah.
Like, you know, about 5 to 8% won't make it to 5 years once you're diagnosed with that cancer. My 5 years comes in June, touch wood. And, but I was in the army at the time, and I was doing a course in Brisbane, for the army. It was 4.5 years ago in 2018. And I went to bed that night after doing some training that day, and I had a sore stomach all sort of night. It was enough to keep me awake, but it wasn't that bad.
Right.
And I wasn't sure what it was, because I thought it must be something I ate, because I wasn't drinking at the time. I sort of stopped drinking for months. I was getting fit. I was as fit as I'd ever been as a 48-year-old at the time. And the next day I went in to the classroom, because I was doing the course in the army, like I said, and one of my friends said, "Oh, you're looking yellow." And I'm going, "All right." And I said to my other friend, "Do I look yellow?" And he goes, "No, you look fine." And I go, "Oh, I don't feel fine." And that was on a Friday. Then I went home the whole weekend, slowly getting worse and worse. And come Monday, I saw the doctor, and then they said, "Yeah, you got jaundice." Mm. And jaundice is one of the symptoms of pancreatic cancer.
Right.
And long story short, I got checked out, did a scan, and they found a tumor on my pancreas. I did all the chemo for that. I saw a surgeon, and I'm from Canberra now, and he was like, "Well, there's not much we can do. Plan your funeral."
Wow.
And
that must have been absolutely devastating to hear that.
Well, I was sort of expecting it, because when you sort of get online and you start Googling all the symptoms and everything, and how you don't sort of expect that you're going to have pancreatic cancer when you're a young guy, youngish guy. Mm. And for whatever reason, I got it. But so that was very humbling for me. I sort of said to him, "Well, is there anything I can do?" You know, and he goes, "Well, you're young and you're fit." And so fitness was everything, because I was quite fit. I was doing the CrossFit at the time. And, you know, I wasn't drinking, like I said, and trying to eat healthily and everything like that. But I still got diagnosed with this. And I did the chemo. I did a radiation trial. And long story short, so it's inoperable, because it's around the portal vein, which is the main artery. And that's one thing with pancreatic cancer. If you get it too late, like I did, it's not very...
Too far gone.
It's too far gone most of the time. And same with ovarian cancer sort of thing with women. You don't sort of notice it till it's too late a lot of the time.
And that's the message. So when you see something, when you feel something, and it doesn't add up, whatever it is... Well, even though it's best to get that checked out, even if it's nothing.
That's right. And that's know your normal. So if your body's not feeling the way it usually should be feeling, there's something wrong. There is something wrong.
Mm.
And get it checked out as soon as you can. And like I said previously, just before, I was talking to somebody and we just sort of said, it's not all about you. It's about the people who love you.
Yeah.
And everyone's got someone who loves them.
Yeah.
Or something. Right. Could be a dog or a cat, but it's not all about you.
Yeah.
And if you're not going to go get yourself checked out, you're letting them down as well.
Do it for them.
So you got to do it for them, you know?
Well, with women, they expect you to women to check their breasts, obviously breast cancer. For guys, testicular cancer, it's always good to just check there as well. There is a point, obviously, where it's just playing with yourself.
Dave, I knew you'd go there.
Yeah. Well, that's part of it.
You've got to do that. You've got to do that,
It's always good to do it in the shower.
But but that's why your message, and we laugh about it, but Dave does it far too much. But your message when visiting places like DGH Engineering, ABC Engineering, Heavy Engineering, Dally Bay and the Men's Shed, it's about not having that stigma of being embarrassed, putting that
it's exactly right. It's been going on for too long.
Yeah.
I mean, I could talk for hours about my experiences of from my father, for example. He's a lovely man, and he got an opinion from a doctor. But the thing is, you don't get one opinion, you get three opinions.
And you know your body better than the doctor does.
Well, you always will.
Yeah.
And doctors are human.
Yeah.
You know, they have a good day or a bad day. You might miss something. And then, you know, and unfortunately, he passed away from stomach cancer about 20 years ago. And that's just how it was back then. It was only 20 years ago, but, you know, he was a bit of fear of going and seeing the doctor. You don't want to know, but better to go and see him early than it is waiting, and then it's too late because you go from stage one to stage four cancer. Well, not even necessarily cancer. It can be anything, you know, heart or whatever. You just get on top of it early because it's not just about you. It's about everyone who loves you. And men don't like the L word too much, but there are people who love everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And you got people in your life who love you, and you need to make sure they're looked after as well by looking after yourself.
Clay, I work opposite somebody and have done for nearly 15 years, who often puts off the doctors because it'll be fine. That's a prime example of what not should happen. If something does change, you have to get onto it ASAP, Dave. Are you listening to that?
I am definitely listening to Clay, yeah.
Mm.
It's and I think that's why you use humour to get around those hard topics.
Oh, well, you have to.
Well, you have to. You have to. Half the battle with all like any serious illness is the mental battle. Is that you need to be try and stay positive, and that's half the battle straight away. It's 50% of it.
And keeping as strong as you can mentally.
Glass half full mentally, and doing everything you can to stay sane.
Mm.
And you got to have a joke about it because there's no other option.
Yeah,
and we did see that at the Touch of Teal soiree last year when we first met Earl, who's here in the studio with us as well.
Mm.
And he was just open about his journey. But I think and the way that he did it too was breaking down that stigma with a bit of humour to make it not a taboo subject, because if you're not affected by cancer or any kind of cancer or disease, you will know somebody who is.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that's it's touching all of us.
Everyone's been touched some way, shape, or form by it. And like what I was talking to Earl today, and Earl even mentioned it about the bowel testing kits that, you know, comes in the mail. And everyone, I can guarantee you, half the blokes in, I'll say, Mackay, I've thrown them straight in the bin.
I did mine straight away.
Yeah.
And
No, seriously.
Well, you did yours? You did yours.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, you've got to freeze your poo.
But there's a there's a big chunk of people who wouldn't do that, though. They would throw it in the bin and going, I don't need that.
I wouldn't know how many people did do that. I know a lot of guys would have.
Yeah.
And women, too. A lot of people. But when you hit 40, that's when you need to get checked, especially blokes with their prostates and everything like that. No one likes anyone touching that part of your body if it's not your partner
other.
Or something. But
exactly right.
It's all pretty discreet. And you just go get it done, and then you can walk away and go, I'm good for another four or five years.
It's not like something you can ask your mate to do for you.
I had a testicular checkup at a doctor's surgery here in Mackay once, and halfway through the examination, the guy said, oh, I listen to your breakfast show every morning.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, you left that moment to tell me that.
Yeah.
But we had a good laugh, but at the same time, it was there for an important reason. And the doctor did say that this is what all men should be doing, even if it's just a preventative thing, and that, like, you may walk away with just a bill for the doctor, but that money is well spent because your health is in good check.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
All right. Well, look, good information. Great to see that you're in Mackay to talk to businesses like DGH Engineering, Dave. We had MMP Services, Max and the team. Love those guys.
Yeah.
Dally Bay, Men's Shed. It really is important. Check yourself, folks. Know your body. Know your normal. Clay, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
Yesterday, we saw that the interest rates are on hold from the RBA. But the big question is, what happens to those people who have mortgages? And what's going to happen to them once their fixed rates come off? And apparently they're saying in the next 18 months, everybody who's been on a fixed rate, that will happen too.
Well, that's why we've got Alistair Paskins from Whitsunday Wealth on the phone with us. Alistair, Jay is in this situation right now with a fixed mortgage. What's going to happen?
Oh, that's future Jay's problem.
Yeah,
I don't
it is.
Really, I don't really envy him. No. In all seriousness, so what generally happens is you've locked in a fixed interest rate. It expires, and then by default, the bank puts you on their standard variable interest rate. So, Jay, you're likely to get quite a large interest rate jump, as you're well aware. However, the repayments, you know, depending on the size of your mortgage, the repayments will vary. But, you know, it's not like if you go from a 2% interest rate to a 7% interest rate that the repayments are going to double. That's not what's going to happen here. But your repayments are going to go up, unfortunately.
Of course. And you know what? We've been in a position to budget for that. And I think we've been pretty smart with our money. But it can be daunting for a lot of people. So if people are in, I guess, they're looking at the numbers and they're not just crunching enough for them, what's your advice? What should they be doing?
Yeah, look, I know the standard rule of thumb here is you should start, you know, quote unquote, shopping around. But look, to be completely honest, I think the first thing that you should do is approach the existing bank. You should approach your existing bank and see if they can get a better deal for you. Reduce interest rates. They've got a fair bit of margin when it comes to home loan interest rates. So what I would say is go to the bank first, see if you can negotiate a better deal. If you do want to shop around and go somewhere else, again, like you said, Jay, you've got to really crunch those numbers. And the Australian government has got a really good website called moneysmart.gov.au. I don't know if you've mentioned it before, but it's got a lot of really helpful tools when it comes to you know, everything from investments to mortgages, and it can help you compare different types of mortgages. Because we've got to put this in perspective. People often chase interest rates, and interest rates aren't the only story. If you move from one bank to the other, you've got application fees, you've got mortgage discharge fees, you've got to re-register the mortgages. So if you're saving yourself 0.2%, that might sound like a lot, you know, on a large mortgage. But when you run the numbers, you might even be worse off in the first year or second year by refinancing somewhere else.
It's the tough conversations you have to have with the bank and everyone else, but a lot of people just bury their head in the sand. I'm guilty of that sometimes,
too. And leaving it to the last minute is not the best option for these people to do that.
And sometimes you can't even refix the mortgages for a long period of time because at this point in time, interest rates are refactored in, and the fixed rates again are going to be sitting quite high. So, yeah, you've got to get ahead of it. You either budget yourself or do shop around, but make sure you do your numbers.
What about a third option and win lotto?
Oh, and mate, if you win the lotto, I'd hope that I would be maybe the fourth one that you call.
If I'm not the first, I'll be very dead.
Yeah, like the fourth one. And then I was like, okay, let's negotiate some things here.
Look, great advice. It is something that people need to be aware of. If you are on a fix at the moment, and if it does come off, you need to speak to your bank, like Alistair said.
Yeah.
Mate, thank you so much for that information. Folks, if you want to hear that again, it's on our podcast, of course, the Listener app. And Alistair, people are more than happy to call your firm and have a chat to you guys.
More than happy.
All right. We have got our very first What's Cooking in the Kitchen with Jay and Dave segment here on Triple M. Now, we're going to do this on Wednesdays. If you have something you want us to cook for you, send it to us, jayanddave@triplem.com.au.
Yeah, or provide us the link on TikTok because that's where this one's come from.
Now, it is a one-minute chocolate chip cookie. So for the, I'm making three of these, right? One for you, me and Lauren.
Yeah.
In the newsroom. So I've got one, you will need at home, 1 tablespoon of brown sugar, 1 tablespoon of melted butter.
Yeah.
A third of a cup of flour for each cookie you're making. But for us, we worked out that, a third of a cup of, flour is actually 5 tablespoons.
So we need 15 tablespoons of flour. That's a lot.
Chocolate chip cookies and baking powder as well. Do we have baking powder in the third drawer there?
I don't. No.
Yes, we do. It's right in front of you.
All right, good stuff.
Luckily, I have the eyes and Dave does not.
Good stuff.
Okay, so what we're going to do is I'll mix these together now. Can you put that in the microwave?
I can do that.
I need that to be melted. So this is the butter is going into the microwave. Put it in for 20, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Now, I found this one the other day, and it's so easy. So if you're a chocolate lover, or if you've got the kids at home saying all the time, "Mom, can I have a biscuit?"
Yeah.
You can make this, and it's pretty fast.
You say it's easy.
Yeah.
we'll find out.
Well, I'm going to combine these here.
Okay.
So what we'll do is I'll combine the sugar and the flour. We're going to add in the milk, the butter once it's coming out of the microwave. It's not burning, though, is it? Can you check that?
5 seconds. No, I've still got more.
Okay. Well, this is going to be great, isn't it? we'll never make it onto Huey's cooking adventures, I can tell you. Okay, so let's just tip that in here.
Not quite.
Put another. What we'll do, we'll go to a song, we're going to come back, and we'll have our biscuit or the dough ready, and then we're going to make it on the air. Go. Are you doing it?
I'm doing it, yeah.
All right, we'll be back in after just a second here on Triple M. Jay and Dave for breakfast, everything Mackay and the Whitsundays. A mostly overcast day today for Mackay Whitsundays. Our top, we're looking at around 30 degrees. If you just joined us, we are doing our very first cooking
with
show.
Jay and Dave.
Okay, now you take over while I mix this. If you've just joined us, go through those recipe again. This is what we're making if you're listening at home, folks.
What we are making is 1 minute chocolate chip cookie. Now, it's taken us a little bit longer than 1 minute, but that's okay. We had a song in between. We got brown sugar in there. We got melted butter. We got we got flour, chocolate chips, which is just about to be put in, and some baking paper. That's obviously to roll it out.
This is it is a very fast cookie dough.
Yeah.
You keep talking, so I have to mix it with my hands.
Okay. Well, that's the best way to do it, isn't it? Looks like it's not going to be enough melted butter, because it looks like very floury where you are at the moment.
I feel like 15 is probably too much, too many tablespoons. Maybe do we put in a little bit more butter?
I think we need more butter, yeah. Put in some more butter. Okay, this is what a whole recipe is about, is just making it up as you go.
All right, so we've added extra butter in there. Now, that seems to be looking like it should be looking, right?
It doesn't, no.
This one-minute cookie takes a lot longer than 1 minute.
It is us doing the recipe, though.
It takes longer for you to make this than it is to actually taste it. So what we're going to do is, do we just make the one, maybe?
Yeah, and just split it between the three of us.
Okay. Now, to add to the batter, all you have to do is put in the chocolate chips, which I've got some Cadbury chocolate chips there.
You put in a lot of chocolate chips for one cookie.
Oh, well, if I'm going to divide it, we want everybody to have some sort of chocolate chip in there. All right, so I'm pushing this all together, and you can see this disaster of a recipe on our Facebook page, Triple M Mackay Whitsundays. Here is the dough. Ignore that.
You're doing okay. It doesn't have to be perfect.
Okay, now that goes into the microwave for 1 minute.
1 minute. Oh, is that where the 1 minute cookie comes from?
Mm-hmm. Live radio, folks.
This is a disaster.
I have like cake batter all over my shirt, but anyway, all good.
How does it taste?
Oh, it tastes all right.
Yeah?
Tastes pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Not bad.
So what's going to happen when we get it out of here, and if it's actually one piece, we'll rejoice like it is the best recipe we've ever had in our lives.
We thought this was going to be easy.
Oh, my God. What a disaster. I should have just made 3 separate cookies instead of the mixture all at one time, but that's all right.
We should have just done the
one
cookie.
We learned from our mistakes. Yeah. You know, cooking is about learning. Ian Hewitson tells us that all the time.
Hewitt. He does, yes. And then he has a go at us.
All right, so how long have we got left?
We've got 18 seconds left to go.
18 seconds left, and then we'll have a look to see if this cookie has been a success or an absolute failure. I'm going to predict the latter.
The failure?
Yeah.
I think you've done okay for what we did.
Oh, it's I stuffed it up with the flour percentage, but that's okay.
It smells great. Oh, my God, that smell. That is fantastic.
Okay, we can tell you now, if I move the camera this way so you can see that cookie, that one-minute cookie is an absolute disaster. You can't pick it up. Hang on, let me have a taste of this thing. At least it tastes good.
Yeah. Not bad.
It's pretty good.
Not bad.
I think the chocolate makes it. Hey, if you've got a recipe for us you want us to try, we promise we'll try it better next week. Jay and Dave at triplem.com.au. This one is an absolute fail. Don't believe anything you see on TikTok.